Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. It's Barry Johnston with my friend, my partner, my co-pilot, Adam Beebe.
Hey, Barry. How's it going today?
Oh, great, man. Real good. And we have a pretty cool set of stories from a friend of yours.
Yep.
And really, really cool guy. And he had one story that was just a strange happening that I think people can relate to because I think a lot of people has probably been in a similar situation.
Yep. Yep. That was a creepy one.
And the second one is a subject that we haven't had a chance to really talk about much because not a lot of people have had direct experience with serial killers, but
we got a new category.
Oh my God, man. I'm so happy.
We got our first serial killer.
I don't think you understand when it comes to like crime TV.
Yeah.
I'm all in it, dude. I love making a murder. The documentaries about people, just that switch gets flipped. This guy's switch, I think, was flipped a long time ago, but I'm interested in the human condition as to what makes someone go over the line.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not our guest that is the serial killer or the one who flipped. Josh is many things, but he's not that. But yeah, no, I'm right there with you, dude. I am, dude, there's something about, I think you get at a certain age, maybe, I don't know, but at some point in life, you get really fascinated by these stories of serial killers and death and all that stuff. And they're incredible stories. They're horrible, horrible stories.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons I wanted to start a podcast is because I listened to a couple of great podcasts that are, you know, more true crime based, like My Favorite Murder. Those ladies put out an incredible and hilarious show. I laugh so much when they're talking about murder. And, you know, this is a free plug to them, so it might get them a few new listeners. So maybe they'll pay it back in kind. But also, you know, there's that. There's Last Podcast on the Left, which is probably the greatest podcast out there, in my opinion. Next to ours, of course, or maybe slightly ahead.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're third. but still, that's a great show, and they cover, amongst everything else, they cover, you know, serial killers as well. And then there's one out of Australia called Case Files, and there's one even out of Ohio here called True Crime Garage. And they're, you know, those are great things. But I never really thought that we would have. I jokingly at one point said, you know, hey, maybe you went on a date with a serial killer or something like that. But no, we have an actual tale.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Of a local serial killer that Josh had some kind of interactions with, and we'll get to that. And yeah, dude, it's crazy. And the first story is creepy too. Not to downplay the first story, not to overhype the second story, but yeah, I think we've rambled on long enough here at the beginning, and I think Josh is done in the restroom, and we can bring him out now. And Barry, also, if you remember, Josh has the distinction of being the very first of our guests to ghost us and not show up
for an interview. That. I remember that.
Yeah, he was one of our second or third guests, Josh was, and he fell asleep and had a hardcore nap and was really sad and upset with himself. But I told him we'd have him back on. And so we finally got him back on, and he came in a pinch when we didn't have an interview. You know, we had a cancellation and we didn't have anything set up, and he came in. We did his interview on his lunch break at work. So yeah, so this is a lot of fun, and we thank you, Josh, for getting on here with us. So yeah, so let's get to it. Josh Brookshire, what's your weird story?
Okay, well, how me and you met is, you've mentioned multiple times you used to play in Our Lord and the Self Portraits. I was like the annoying little kid super fan. Now being in a band of my own, I realize if I was in your shoes, I would have, you know, I would have brushed myself off, you know, little 16-year-old kid super fan.
We were all the super fan at one point in time, man.
Yeah, we've all been there. So I was telling Barry,
I'm a super fan of your artwork, Adam. You're a great guy still, man.
Well, thank you.
But I appreciate that. Like I was saying, I grew up in Carteret County, North Carolina, which is right at the beach. If you look at a map of North Carolina, we have the Outer Banks Islands, and there's that little island right at the very tip that looks like a mustache. That's basically the county where I grew up in, and where Sam and Garrett, we all went to the same high school. And about like 2000, I want to say it was spring 2005, I want to say, or it might have been later in 2004. You guys were playing a show at the Soapbox down in Wilmington. It's not there anymore, but it used to be a great venue that had an upstairs stage and a basement stage, and in the at the bottom was a bar with a laundromat in it. So it was pretty cool. It was a good spot, man. It was, yeah, it was right next to the courthouse.
It was a great spot for shows. I saw a lot of good shows there. So carry on.
Sorry, man. Yeah, I went to a bunch of good punk shows there too, besides you guys. But you were opening for MC Chris. I don't know if people remember Adult Swim. He used to do the voice for Hesh on C-Lab 2021 and did like some Aqua Teen Hunger Force stuff. And there was
he was MCP Pants, I think.
Yep, MCP Pants. I Like Candy. Yeah, that stuff. And there was this other band on the bill that sounded like, I want to say they were kind of like a They Might Be Giants type band. They were called Synonym with an exclamation point. I don't know if you remember that show.
I remember parts, so it's been a while.
I hear you, man. This was like, I was still 17 at the time, so I didn't have my full license, so I couldn't drive after 9 p.m. And I'd actually gotten a ticket in Greenville. When I went to play with you guys in Valiant Thor, I went to drive the gear, so I got like a ticket for driving after 9 o'clock. So that night, my friend Josh Lewis and Joe Carroll, we took Josh's car down to Wilmington. And it's probably about like If you cut around the city of Jacksonville, it takes about like an hour and 20 minutes, or it used to. They built a big expressway cut through. But it used to be back in the day, up until about like 2006, you used to be able to cut through Camp Lejeune by driving this little town called Hubert. And there was an intersection where you turned to the left, you went by a Scotchman gas station, and there was sort of like a toll booth looking, like the thing you would see at any military base with the arms and a little guard sitting in a glass turnstile, you know?
Checkpoint.
Yeah, checkpoint. And you just had to show them your ID, let them know what you're doing, and they'd flag you through, you know? And that way, an hour and 20 minutes, you could cut it to about 45 minutes if you went through the base. And it was it's a two-lane road. It went through like basically like a national forest, and there were all these signs that said, keep your eyes open, live ordnance in use, military drills being conducted. We never really saw anything. Like, we used to cut through there to go to Wilmington to go to record stores, or just, you know, whenever kids get their first car, you know, they like to just go driving with their friends and all this stuff. So we'd cut through there. So we go to the show, you guys ripped it, all that. You know, I met MC Chris, you know, he recorded a voicemail on one of my first cell phones randomly. Remember, I still have.
That's awesome.
And, this was before, like, I had drunk like once or twice in my life. I didn't do drugs or anything like that. I was just a young 17-year-old kid, you know, pretty fresh face. You know, I had good grades and all this stuff. I wasn't high or drunk or anything like that. So we left the show and we went straight through, used to cut across a big bridge and go through Camp Lejeune, ended up in Hubert, and we drive back to Carteret County. So this was probably about like 1:30 in the morning, and we were driving through this two-lane, just imagine a two-lane road in the middle of a national forest in the dead of night. No street lights, nothing out there.
That sounds like it would be really cool, but also potentially very creepy.
Well, this night it was creepy because driving through there, we're about 3/4 of the way through, probably about 5 minutes away from the Hubert checkpoint. and the road makes like an S turn. At first you make like a left turn and then a right turn, and then it straightens back out. So as we went around the left turn, there was a side road, like connecting side road, and there was a car, like a white government looking car, probably like a Ford Taurus, had all its doors open and his hazard lights ringing and his trunk open. And we went around that turn, and then the turn went to a right, and there was another access road with another white government looking car. It looked like a Ford, white Ford Taurus, all its doors open, trunk popped, hazard lights blinking. And Josh was driving. I remember him slowing down because we thought, oh shit, there's probably like a cop checkpoint up here or something like that. Like, they were freaking out because I'm pretty sure they had weed or something like that in the car. So we're like, oh shit, like, uh-oh, you know, high school kids out driving in the middle of the night through a military base, like, this could be good. So we slowed down, came out of that turn, and then as it turned onto a straightaway, on the left side, the driver's side of the car, in the other lane, down on the ditch, there was a white paneled van, all of its doors open, the back two doors were open, and it has hazard lights on, blinking, right? That wasn't what creeped me out about it, because there were like 12 dudes standing around it, right? In the middle of the night. They didn't have flashlights or anything. We just saw them through the car headlights. They were wearing like military biohazard suits. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it was a design or something like that, but they had conical like plastic tops on them. It looked like KKK hoods, you know? Like, whoa. Fabric conical. Sort of, you know, like if you hold a bag long enough by one end, it like pops up at the top. And we drove by and we're like, holy shit, what the fuck? What the fuck was that, dude? What was that? You know, and it freaked us out. And it was probably about another 5 minutes or so. We kept talking about it. Like, did you see that? Yeah, I saw it. You know, like, what was it? I'm not slowing down, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. We get to the guard tower to show the dude the ID. I was like, dude, Josh, just ask this guy, like, is there like war games drills going on? Anything like that in the middle of the night? So he described the situation. Dudes with gas masks on. White biohazard suits, look like they have conical hoods, you know. And the guy's like, huh, that's interesting. But you kids go along. And then, like, as we were driving away, I saw him pick up the phone and start like dialing. So I don't know if he knew what was going on or whatever. So from Hubert to Cape Carteret, which is where I had left my car at Josh Lewis's house, it's about a 20-minute drive. Nothing. We were freaked out. We're like, okay, well, I guess we'll never hear or see anything about that again. So, yeah, we go to his house, hang out for about 15, 20 minutes. I had school the next day, so I had to go home, sneak in through the window, you know, all this stuff, make an excuse. My parents were always pretty cool. You know, I used to be able to go to Greenville, 40, hour and a half away, go out to a club, and then drive back to the beach and go to school the next morning. So, I've done things like that. My parents were cool and all this stuff, but I was driving back from Cape Carteret to Newport, which is where my parents' house was, and this car started following me. And you know that feeling at night when you think, like, a cop's about to pull you over? You know, like,
yeah, oh yeah.
I think a lot of people in America have this thing where you try and discern if, like, the headlights are Dodge Charger lights or something like that, you know?
Yeah. You know I do that. I do that all the time. It's
distinct.
Yeah, but Barry drives fear. Like a bat out of hell.
Dang. I'm the opposite. I drive like a little old lady. It might have something to do with this. I kept thinking, oh man, I'm going to get another ticket for driving after 9. They're going to call my parents. They're going to have to come pick me up, and like they're going to have to follow me home or something like that. So I started slowing down. I pulled off into this neighborhood, and this car started following me. But like it was blocks and blocks and blocks. And I kept thinking, all right, they've read my license plate. Surely they know that like the driver of this car is like a 16, 17-year-old kid who can't be driving after 9. When are the blue lights going to hit? You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for it. No blue lights. This car is just still following me. So I'm starting to get like a little bit creeped out, you know? So I drive through this neighborhood, pull into a cul-de-sac, and the car follows me through the cul-de-sac. I get back on the highway. This car is still following me, not on my tail, but it's just like, you know, normal car lengths behind me, but this it's following me, you know?
Now, Josh, and, Josh, how long have he been following you for before you noticed it?
When I noticed it, I was probably like 5 to 10 minutes after leaving my friend's house. So I was probably about halfway home.
Okay.
Yeah. So after I leave this neighborhood, pull back on the highway. I'm driving to my house, and my parents at the time, we lived off this little sound inlet. I don't know if the sound is there's a barrier island that separates the Atlantic Ocean from a more brackish, salty, and freshwater mix that we call the sound.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know if.
Sure.
And we lived on this place called Gale Shores Circle, which is right on Gale Shores Sound. It's like a little inlet thing. But you had to pull off a bridge down like a kind of a bumpy dirt road incline with tree roots sticking out of it and all this stuff. You had to go real slow down at like 5 miles per hour. Slow down on the highway and get down it, right? So I started pulling down there, and this car starts following me. There's no reason that this car was going to like follow me, because it's not really a neighborhood. It's just a little dirt and gravel. There's no cul-de-sac or U-turn. It just leads to the water, basically. My house was like the closest one to that, to the water, except for an old married couple that lived beside us. They were further away. And I pull into my house and turn the car off, and I get out of my car, and this car pulls up to my to like the mailbox area before like getting in to my driveway. You know, it's sort of not really like a perpendicular turn. It's like it curves, you know, there's a gentle curve, or you could keep going straight to this old couple's house. So I get out of my car and I turn around, and I'm just looking at it like, what, something's about to happen. This car just stops there, and then it just goes in reverse the entire way, makes a 3-point turn, pulls back up the hill and onto the highway. And I was freaked out. I didn't go to sleep for a little bit, you know, but I, you know, being a normal teenager, eventually I forgot it and, you know, went to bed. And I told my buddies about it the next day. They're like, I don't know, man, it might have something to do with it. That shit that we saw in Camp Lejeune, but nothing really weird happened after that. It's just like, I can't shake it. Like that feeling of somebody following me like that. And yeah. It's just a little bit too much of a coincidence for me. And that's just something that's always like stuck with me as like really creepy and really weird.
And were you able to make out, did it look like those cars that you had passed before you got to the checkpoint? Did you notice any of that, or?
Well, it was pitch black at night. But yes, from what I could tell, with the lights bouncing off things and back onto the car, it looked sort of like a maroon Pontiac Bonneville. You know those things like boxy boat-looking cars, old man-type cars?
Yeah.
That's what that looked like. It didn't look like a white government van. It didn't have yellow tags or anything like that. It looked like a maroon Bonneville.
Huh.
The weirdest thing, because eventually I ended up buying a maroon Bonneville.
That was future you. You were making sure you were getting home from the future. So,
so that's my weird Camp Lejeune story. Seeing the guys in the weird suits in the middle of the night, no explanation, and that to me is still probably like as far as unexplained weird things that's happened in my life. That's the scariest unexplained thing that's happened to me in my life. And I wouldn't have been in that situation if I hadn't have gone down to Wilmington to see your band play, BB. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, happy to help. Always willing and, you know, happy to bring strangeness into people's lives, you know. But yeah, dude, that's so strange, because like I've never heard of a biohazard suit that had the that kind of a weird pointy hat thing, the dunce cap thing, like a Klan member or something. That's just strange. Yeah, dude. That's
weird.
That was the one detail that put it up to me, because at first we rolled up on him. I was like, what the fuck? It looks like the Klan. And then we noticed that they were like, a few of them that were turned toward the road had like the black biohazard mask thing with the circle, the respirator around the mouth. Really weird. And it was like one of those things where you're driving and it's just like, and it's gone. And it's like, holy shit, I saw that. I fucking saw it.
Yeah. Did they have, did they have any markings on them? Like, were there any patches or any, like, you know, was a biohazard or a U.S. flag or a military kind of a thing? Did you notice, or was it just so that you were distracted by the fact that they had the pointy heads?
No markings on any of the cars that I remember or on any of the suits. Huh. I still keep in contact with Joe Carroll all the time. And every time I run into him, I'm like, dude, you still remember this, right? He lives in Asheville now. And I was up there last year on a friend's birthday weekend trip. We went up there and randomly ran into Joe Carroll getting at a tea shop. And we're sitting there drinking the bubble tea and all that. And we were talking about it. And Joe walked in. I was like, dude, Joe, do you still remember this? He's like, yeah, I remember. Yeah. One of those things, you know.
For sure, man.
That's awesome.
Hey, Barry, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need all our friends and listeners to go and rate and review us the highest possible of all those things on all their podcast providers. iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, whatever. You know them all. You listen to them all, or at least one of them. So go, please go. Give us all the stars, all the thumbs up, all the hearts, all the love, great reviews, so we can grow our audience and more people can add and contribute to not only the stories, but to the listening and being part of this huge community that we are going to build. That's what we need.
So you want to hear about the serial killer? This is confirmed. And not unexplained, but it's still weird. Yeah, this is some... Forsyth County stuff that's been going on here.
We love serial killer stuff, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, hit us. drop some knowledge.
All right, okay. Let me tell you about this guy, Pazuzu Algarad, right? So I moved up here to Winston after leaving Greenville. Me and my brother started this band, and I live in this little western suburb of Winston-Salem called Clemens. It's on the southwest side of the circular. Oh, you see me swinging around the camera trying to illustrate it. Like, that makes any sense. But if you imagine a circle surrounding a city, Clemens is on the southwest side of Winston-Salem. And it's a little tiny suburb, lots of cops over here, very bougie, very Joel Osteen type, you know, squeaky clean plastic Christian type people, you know?
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, this guy named, James Algarad, who went by the name Pazuzu, was found to have two bodies buried in his backyard. Where I'm talking to you now, this parking lot right over here, it's about like five blocks that way to left from here, which would technically be 5 blocks north of where I'm sitting, in a little residential neighborhood in a little duplex right across the street from my bank. This guy had two bodies buried in shallow graves in his house. And it turned out there's a video online, if anyone wants to look, where the sheriff's department went to his house, and it looks horrible. Trash everywhere, hoarders, weird, both Arabic script spray painted on the wall and weird pseudo satanic, Hot Topic satanic stuff spray painted everywhere, Halloween directions everywhere, right? This guy that lived there with his girlfriend, her name was Amber, and his mother, and there had always been rumors that this guy was a killer. Everyone knew him as like a meth head, drug fiend around here. He had facial tattoos, all that. It looked like your regular small town, like gutter punk guy, right? And when I first moved up here, I was living with these two guys, Cody and Seth. And this guy, Seth, was like, hey, man, we should go hang out with this guy, Paz, man. He's like, really, he probably got some weed. Yeah, you might like him, man. You're interested in like magic and the occult and stuff like that, man. You should go hang out with this guy, man. He knows about all this stuff. I was like, man, I don't know, dude. I just moved up here. I'm not trying to like go meet people. And like Cody was sitting in this chair. He's like, man, I heard that he had like some bodies buried in his house. And Seth was like, nah, man, he's not like that. He's just like really into religion. And like sometimes when the moon's full, he like cuts the heads off chickens, man. But I think he's just like, into Santeria. right? I was laughing this shit off. I never met this guy or anything like that. And later I moved out to an apartment complex, and my next door neighbor was like, he literally said the same thing, like, oh, wow, you're an interesting guy. You know all this stuff about, like, the occult or whatever. You should meet this guy, Paz Pazuzu. He's, like, really into it, too. I was like, I've heard that name before. Isn't that guy some devil worshiper? And my neighbor at the time was like, oh, no, he's not a devil worshiper. He worships Tiamat. I'm like, dude, what the that's like the tyranny of small differences. You know what I'm saying? And I laughed it off at the time, you know, because basically the only common denominator is, like, all these people are, like, potheads. And I thought they were just telling stories about some tough-looking, you know, local guy. But then randomly the SBI came, did a cursory search, and about, like, 2.5 feet underneath his lawn were two bodies of people that him and his girlfriend or common-law wife had tortured for drug money and shot them execution style in their house. And this cop walkthrough video of his house, it leads to this room that has no floor. It's just like a dirt hole in the ground that looks like it has chicken bones and just shit and trash and black bags, black trash bags in it and stuff like that. Yes. And then it came out that he had, like, 5 years before that, this guy was involved in a drug murder that went down by the Yadkin River. Yadkin River is to the west of Winston. It leads to Yadkin County. It's the county line, basically. He had lured this blind guy out there trying to, like, sell him cocaine or whatever. And him and this other guy beat the shit out of him and shot him execution style in the back of the head. And he got off on, like, an insanity plea, like, type thing. Like the Gucci Mane thing where he's like, I have facial tattoos. Obviously, I'm incompetent to stand trial. You can look up this guy's mugshots. He looks like Jared Leto's Joker, but even worse. You know, just was terrible.
Was that one of the guys that they found in the backyard, or was that a different instance?
It's a different one. So that puts it at three, which made him a serial killer, because that's the technical depth. Three people.
So is that why they searched his place? Because of that?
No, here's the weird thing about it, right? So he got off on a... like
there's something weird about this?
right. He got off on a less culpable charge, like a manslaughter charge, reduced culpability, and he was out within like a couple of years, and he moved in with his mom, his living wife, in this little shithole house that I was telling you about. And like, I guess it was like the same thing. Another one was actually a Domino's pizza delivery driver that they knew socially through like drug circles or something like that. And they had killed this guy. And I forget who the other one is, but like the story is they like lured him to the house on like, yeah, man, let's get fucked up or whatever. And then like after a couple hours, it was, yeah, we're just going to hold you here and take me to your ATM machine type deal, you know? And what got him, I think, from what I gleaned from the local news and, a later part of the story is randomly, this was, like I said, about two or three years ago when ISIS was real popular. Remember how they were in the news all the time?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds weird to say when ISIS was real popular, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
They were everywhere. And apparently this guy on Facebook had been like adding people with weird, suspicious, like dummy accounts. You know what I'm saying? So what I think happened is probably something pinged, like through a crime, maybe like the SBI or probably got something from the FBI or something like that. Like, hey, there's someone living in Forsyth County who's like ain't trying to contact these potential jihadis in Syria or whatever. He has all this fake Islam stuff on his Facebook account. Maybe you should go look into him. And then they probably looked at the dude's rap sheet. Was like, oh wait, this guy has like drug warrants, he's pled guilty to a manslaughter, whatever. So they go to his house, and then boom, next thing I know, it's all over the news around here. I said, you know, this is where I work, guys, you know, popular local restaurant down here, and we had the SBI, like the sheriff's department, they were all eating over here telling like little tidbits to my boss and stuff like that. Let's see, what else do I know about the case? He eventually killed himself. That's what I'm getting at. He didn't face trial. He cut his wrists in jail. They were going to make a documentary about him, but I think the leads fizzled out. But the other part is that, like I was saying, there were like rumors around like people that I was like smoking weed with, like, yeah, he has bodies in his yard, blah, blah, blah. And if that's like some loose talk that people would tell to me, I know for a fact that a lot of people in this little like suburb had heard that at the time, you know, and they were probably just thinking, oh, it's one of those things, you know, kids running their mouth. This guy probably looks scary and looks tough, but he, you know, he's probably just a meth head or something like that.
Yeah.
So they knew all this stuff for a long time until eventually
that the police would also have heard that type of stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had to have some kind of tip off or something to go in there. Yeah. They had to have some kind of legit legal reason because he had already gotten away with murder once. So they knew that they had to stick it. So, yeah, who knows, man? I mean, that's just, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, usually, you know, in small towns, because we grew up in a small town, and usually you'll have those rumors about people, but everybody kind of has a tongue-in-cheek sort of way of going about it, because obviously if there was something really going on, you'd think the authorities would know, you know, but sometimes things really are going on. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like The Burbs. Remember the movie The Burbs with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, dude.
Unfortunately, this guy wasn't Bruce Dern. I wish it was Bruce Dern.
That's crazy, not quite that cool. That's a crazy story.
It had to have been because I had heard about it at least a year and a half before any of it happened. And I remember in the news articles, I'll send them to you after we get off the horn. So if you want to include them in the show notes, I'll send you links to this guy's story. I think they were down there for like two or three years, badly decomposed. And he was having like house parties, like 20 people in his backyard. And he'd get drunk or whatever and brag and be like, oh yeah, you want to know what's under here? I'll get a shovel. I'll show you right now. And people would like laugh him off and all this stuff. Wow. And now it's a big grassy empty lot because they tore the house down shortly after he got.
That's something that they've been doing a lot in recent years. Is to, if there's been, especially with serial killers, to just tear down the houses because I mean, people who want to buy serial killer houses, that's a whole other thing there. But I think just for like, it seems like for the general public, for general like good vibes or something, to get rid of that kind of, you know, that place. Yeah. Because
dude, weird is like, you say that, BB, but like, you know how I was saying he lived there with his living wife or whatever. He also lived there with his mom, right?
Yeah.
So she had to know something, right? There were rumors that she was on the drugs. She never got charged with this shit, right? But since the house was deemed unlivable, you know, she was evicted and all that. Like I said, there's a video online. It's completely unlivable, as bad as anything you've ever seen on that show, Hoarders. But, like, there was a month period before they tore it down where it was actually listed for rent for $300 a month. And I was contemplating that because it was $120 less than the one-bedroom apartment I lived in.
Got to go where the good deals are.
A little bit of a fixer-upper.
I know. It
requires some smudging with sage.
A little bit of sanitation.
Yeah. That's you have hilarious. To find some floor people to put a whole floor in one room and get all the chicken bones. Who knows what kind of bad juju I would have been messing with, you know, just to save a little bit of money. But these days, you know, money's so tight, man, I'd risk a few poltergeist experiences for rent. You know? I'd have more stories for the pod.
That's awesome, man. That's hilarious. So we want to try an experiment. We want to get stories from you, the listener, for us to read on air.
What we're saying is if you don't feel comfortable being interviewed on air, you can type up your story and send it to us, and we will have it read, and we'll share your story that way.
It'll be a cross between us telling your story and our reactions to your story.
So what we'll probably do is have a third party read your stories, and we'll react as we typically do.
And we want to try this as an experiment. It's an idea that we've come up with.
Now, granted, we can't ask you the questions we would normally ask someone who is involved in the story, but we may have our reader just make up stuff.
That could be part of the charm.
And it's a little silly, but we're going to try it, and it'll be fun.
I got to say this. I've been thinking about, have I ever been followed by somebody? And I got to say, I don't think I've ever.
Sure you've probably at least once thought you were being chased by, probably by the police or something like that.
For sure.
You know, thinking everybody's out to get you.
For sure. I mean, there's definitely been times when I thought that people were that the police were on me.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I ever, had them follow me for a very long time.
Yeah, dude, I don't think I've experienced anything like that, too. And I can only imagine how weird that would be. Because, you know, especially to follow you all the way basically to your doorstep.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for miles.
Right.
For, you know,
right.
20, 30 minutes.
And you'd have no reason to be on that route unless you were, you know, living where he lived.
Yeah. Just strange. And so late at night.
Yeah. Weird, man.
And beyond that, just that bit alone is weird and creepy. But all that other stuff with the
cars,
the biosuits.
Weird, man. Super weird.
You know, it's like, was there an alien?
Yeah.
You know, or was it like some weird science version of the Klan?
Right.
Where, you know, it sounds like something out of a comic book.
Yeah,
it really
does. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Captain America would be definitely fighting those guys if they're not on our side.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
for sure, man, for sure. Crazy. And then the serial killer. I mean, I think that is one of the stories that you think about when you're a kid living in a town where there's the creepy, weird guy, but it never seems to come to life. And in his case, it came to life.
You know, I mean, again, we grew up in the small town. We heard stories about, you know, such and such person is satanic, you know, because they listened to heavy metal. Barry, you were on the edge there for a while.
I was in the metal, dude. I was in the heavy, heavy stuff.
And, you know, in retrospect, and now looking back now, the stuff that you were into is not even anything.
No.
I mean, Ozzy, you know, Guns N' Roses, you know, Metallica.
Yeah.
None of that stuff is even, it's all, you know, fun hair band.
It was just super aggressive, and that's what, you know.
That was what was scary.
Yeah, well, and it also.
And the imagery, you know.
And just sort of the amount of power and the energy that you got from the music is really what I was into. But. Yeah, I mean, of course, you throw in to the mix that somebody looks different and they're not your typical guy that, you know, you see walking down the street in Main Street America. You got the makings for some stories to be shared, but you don't think that kind of stuff is really going on. Just kind of like Josh's reaction, I think, would have been my reaction. It's like, okay, he's just a weird dude, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I was, I'd heard that name Pazuzu before. And I'm sure you have too. But I looked it up on the Google machine here just to be sure. And Pazuzu is the from ancient Mesopotamian religion. Pazuzu was king of the demons of the wind and some other things. So he was a demon king. And I want to say that he was the name of the demon used in The Exorcist.
Okay.
Does that sound right?
Sure.
Yeah. The demon in the possessed the girl in the Exorcist. I just checked it using the wiki machine was Pazuzu. And so, you know, obviously that's where it seems to me that would be the inspiration of his name. He changed his name to be Pazuzu something that sounded more Middle Eastern in origin. And, you know, so it's interesting, but that's what he chose. And then everything else that he did, and he was, you know, apparently this satanic or evil entity, alternate kind of thing. Right. And, you know, you and I, again, as we've said before, we grew up very Christian. We were raised in the Methodist Church, and we were raised to fear the things that were different than us. But we've both been out in the world, as we've said before, and we've experienced a lot of different cultures and a lot of different things. And, you know, we're very open to, you know, hey, if you want to be religious and if you want to practice any kind of thing, practice what you want. Just, you know, keep it out of my face and, you know, be cool with it, you know, and yeah. Don't hurt people. Just like anything. It's like, don't hurt people. Do what you want to yourself, but don't hurt people. So I don't, you know, I don't care if you want to worship Satan or the cosmic spaghetti monster, whatever.
What I choose to put my faith in, the spaghetti.
Oh, you're a Pastafarian?
Oh, yeah, man. Okay, for cool. sure. For sure.
But yeah, but you know, just because you're different doesn't mean that you're, you know, evil or weird. But sometimes you are.
Sometimes you are, man.
Sometimes you are.
And there's not a whole lot you can do other than just sort of reap whatever karma comes your way.
Yeah, because that will happen, you know, it certainly will. So, well, all right. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, great stuff. Glad we got Josh on.
Yeah, thanks again, Josh. You totally made up for ghosting us.
Thanks for for not sleeping through this one.
Yeah, and breaking our pod hearts again. So Josh has got a great sense of humor. He'll laugh. He'll really appreciate all the ribbing that he's taking. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks everybody for listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Stay tuned. We got more coming, and we got stuff in development, and it's always a lot of fun, you know. And thanks again for being part of it. Hey, everybody, we're going to take a quick little break here to introduce you to our friend and yours, if you've been a longtime listener of the past few months. Today, we are joined by Jeff Hubbard. We're all in a common law marriage now, I think. Podcast marriage, partnership, civil union. Jeff is going to be our special Bigfoot correspondent, since that's his area of expertise, since we all went to the Bigfoot Fest back in October, we mentioned. And Jeff is also going to be you. He is going to serve as your voice. He's going to serve as the voice of the listener. So whenever you write in, if you write in a story that you want to share, but you don't want to be interviewed on the episode, Jeff will be you. He'll be you, whoever you are, boy or girl, man or woman, child or beast. Jeff is going to serve as your avatar, your advocate. He is going to be there in your stead and read your words and perform your words. So, yeah, so if you write in, he's going to be head of that team. And then also, if you write us an iTunes review and get that out there, Jeff is going to be the one who reads your review on air. We've been talking about that. We've been building up to it, and this is how it's going to be. So he's going to read the reviews that we have so far. We only have a few, so we're asking you for more. So knowing that they will be read on the podcast and shared with the world, and performed by our friend Mr. Hubbard. So, Jeff, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being the voice of the listener.
Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all Father, forever, now, and ever, and ever. Amen.
Hey, guys.
Oh, perfect. Perfect, man.
I'm looking forward to coming on and reading some of these reviews. And also, I promise that if you write in your stories, I'll do the best I can to represent you and your story. And really looking forward to having a great time here with Barry and Adam.
Great stuff.
That was a hell of a self-introduction there. You got theme music.
Fantastic. So yeah. Perfect.
Now you're going to have to do that every single time. No, he don't. But,
that's great.
Yeah, so looking forward to coming on as part of the team and helping out in any way I can, guys.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time out to help us out.
Yeah, no problem.
Jeff's going to be, like I said, he's going to be the special reporter. So he's not going to be here with us every week. If, you know, if he's got a free day to join us when we do our regular interviews, he might pop in. Otherwise, he will be ringing whenever we accumulate stories or reviews or have a particular Bigfoot-centric episode he'll be trying to get in here with. So that's pretty cool. So, yeah. So, Jeff, thank you. Let's get to this. Let's read those reviews.
Let's do it. Lord Chumbly says, 5 stars. This is a cool podcast about average guys talking to average people about their stories. The only thing that is not average is their production quality, which is very professional.
High praise indeed. And, you know, we thank you, Lord Chumbly, for that. That I praise. Barry is the one who makes all of the high production values happen. He is a audio engineer extraordinaire. His background is in music and live music, audio engineering and soundboard and doing all that stuff, as well as a studio work that he does. He's recorded several bands, his own included, which they'll be having a new album come out later this year. So, you know, we'll definitely let you know when that happens. But yeah, all of that, the production values of us sounding so good, all that lies squarely on Mr. Johnston's shoulders. His craft is exquisite, and that's why we sound so good. So thank you, Lord Chumbly.
Johnny 0-60 says, 5 stars. This is a great show that has good content, is a consumable length, and its release schedule enables a casual listener to keep up with latest episodes without building a backlog in your library. Fun, storytelling of the strange, conversational interviews without fact-checking, making the listener feel like they're sitting around a campfire with friends, each building off of one another's personal tales.
Awesome.
Wow.
Thank you, Johnny.
A glowing review.
Another, and we appreciate that. We think the format is what it serves us best, you know, so we can be just kind of casual and hanging out and like that kind of, yeah, like kind of hanging around a campfire kind of a thing. So, yeah. Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Red and Green 76 says 5 stars. This is a no-frills podcast of regular people telling strange stories spanning a broad array of topics. The hosts are relatable, down-to-earth, great guys. The same goes for all the storytellers thus far. Big thumbs up.
I have to say that one of the most surprising things about what we've been doing is the storytelling, and I always thought that it would be good, but really it's blown away my expectations, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the stories that have been brought to us have just been so incredible. And there's been stuff that we didn't have for air that, you know, were just equally amazing. And for one reason or another, we're cut. But, like, the stories that our listeners, our friends, have brought are just mind-boggling, you know? I mean, it's just fantastic.
The thing is that there's no coaxing or anything like that. We're just talking to them. And yeah. It's a real, like, you know, like it's been said, it's a natural flow, a conversation. But when people are into their stories, they really, I mean, they just bring it, you know, and that's like the thing that I'm most intrigued by are people, the way that they come at these stories and the way that they present these stories it's amazing.
So we thank you again, everybody who's been on the show and shared with us, and everybody who's shared that will be on in the coming episodes. And once again, you know, for you guys out there who haven't shared, even if you got like just one little tiny story, we want to hear it. We want you on the podcast because you guys make this happen and we love it. This has been such a fun experience and we just want to keep going and keep hearing more of your stories. So, you know, do contact us, call the hotline. You can email us. You can send us a message on Facebook or through the Instagram account or Twitter. You know, we'll have listen for all that information. You can write it in and Jeff here will read in your stead. And if Jeff can't make it that week, we have some backup voice character actors that are volunteered to help out. So, you know, we just want this community to keep growing. And we just, you know, we really appreciate everything that's been put in. So thanks again. And thank you for the reviews. Give us more. We'll put them on. We'll have them read aloud. As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them.
Whoa. Hold on. Before we sign off, before we leave and we say our, you know, be safe, be weird. This episode is going to be coming out on November 13th. Do you know what that is?
That's my birthday.
That's Barry Johnston's birthday. That's right. One of the few birthdays I'm always able to remember because of it being 13th, and there were many a times that was on Friday the 13th. Now, I know Barry's not making a big deal out of it, but this is a big deal.
It's the older you get, the more you don't want your birthday to happen, man.
I think that's true, but it's also the fact that other people do want to point out your birthday, and I'm pointing it out right now, and we actually have had a back and forth on this behind the scenes, because Barry's a very humble guy. He's you know, he's not one to, you know, tout it around, put his birthday out there, but I want to point it out, because this is the 43rd birthday that I've been celebrating.
Man, that hurts. That stings a little bit.
Yeah. You know, what's really crazy is that we were born only a few months apart, but I'm still in my late 20s.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know how it happened.
Oh, my gosh.
Just how it is. So,
yeah, it is so amazing.
So Jeff is here, and we got him back in to, you know, but it's just as he was leaving, and we're going to do something special for you there, you know, for your birthday. We're going to sing you happy birthday.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And we're going to actually, we're going to try to sing it well, and I believe the happy birthday song is now public domain, so we can get away with it.
Sweet.
All right. Are you ready, Mr. Hubbard?
I am ready, Mr. BB.
Let us begin.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Boo Bear. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, man. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. That was great, guys. Thank you so much, man. You're making me feel much, much younger than what I should.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks,
have
man.
A good one, man.
Thanks, guys.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.